Yo, and welcome to the 75th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, a.k.a. Mellow underscore Magikarp. I'm joined today by two very special temporary guest hosts. Joining us for the very first time, fresh off of a top eight at the first regional of the year, we have the Miltank Master, Jack Moore.
Hey.
Perfect. And then we have joining us for the fourth time...
Not enough time.
The dude who pretends that he knows how to play control decks, but in reality, other people play them better. Alex Cook.
That's the amount of true things that you have said to me over the course of the last few years. That's the truest.
So a very special episode for you today. We're going to be talking to Jack about his run at the Baltimore Regionals. And most importantly, so if you tune in, you're like, do I really want to hear an old format? I think the best thing we're going to get out of this is the mentality of playing such a specific counter deck into such a large field. I feel like there is a lot that everyone can learn, even if this isn't Lost Origin. There's a ton about the mentality of picking a deck and picking a counter meta deck that I think you'll be able to get out of this one. But first, the most important thing we have to mention. Piper Lapine won the Baltimore Regional. Congratulations to her. This is two episodes after that because the Henry episode was recorded before day two even started. So huge congrats to Piper. We heard some other podcasts out there brag that they called Radiant Zard as the winner. Yo, that's cool and all. We called the winner of the regional who called her pick of Radiant Zard. So shout out to those other podcasts for pretending they know what they're doing. But in the end, Lake of Rage is the best podcast as always. And most importantly, Piper, congratulations to her on being amazing.
So podcast pretending they know what they're doing.
So, all right. We always got to call someone.
Your mentions in now, folks.
So, Jack, it is your first time here. First time here, we like to do some rapid strike questions. It's been a little while since we've done that, but you'll have 60 seconds to answer the questions as quickly as you can. No thought, no explanation, just boom. Rapid fire off the top of your head. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Perfect. Question number one, winter or summer?
Summer.
What's your favorite snack?
Cookies.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Regigigas.
Favorite deck you've ever played?
Malamar.
Would you rather be late or be early?
Early.
What's your favorite emoji to use?
Oh, skull emoji.
Toppings on your perfect pizza?
Pepperoni. That's it.
What color sleeves do you use?
Pink.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Juniper, sycamore, oak, rowan, or magnolia?
Juniper.
What's your favorite subject in school?
History.
What is your favorite holiday?
Oh, Thanksgiving.
Rate your karaoke skills on a scale of 1 to Beyonce.
2.
Mario Bros. Or Legend of Zelda?
Mario.
Favorite region in a Pokemon game?
Unova.
How many pairs of shoes do you own?
1.
That was impressive. I think that's a record. You answered 18 questions in 60 seconds.
Wow.
That was insane.
A stark contrast to the time Alex answered 4 questions in 60 seconds. Now, the most important part, you said Malamar as your favorite deck to play. Which version of Malamar and why would you ever say
great
that?
Great spell tags, maybe one Giratina Garchomp, as pure as it gets. I played that for so long. That is such a cool deck. I've never once lost the mirror in my life.
Oh, the mirror is very fun. I'll give you that one.
That's my favorite matchup of all time.
I still, Malamar is your favorite deck of all time.
And really hurt.
So I got to ask, let's learn a little bit more about you, because hearing that question makes me wonder, how long have you been playing? How long have you been competitive? You know, all this other stuff. What are some of your accomplishments in the past? Let us know a little bit more about you as a player.
Well, I've been playing for locally, just at leagues, for about a decade, maybe. But competitively, I think I won my first cup in seniors. About 5 years ago, the Crimson Invasion. It's my mouse pad now.
Yo, the Buzzwole?
The Silvally.
Silvally?
Still Valley League Cup champion.
Sure.
But ever since then, I've been playing Pokemon. You know, going to some cups. I mostly just grind cups. I barely do regionals, but that's just how I've been. I'm going for Worlds number 3, hopefully, this year. Japan.
Let's go.
But,
I think you're off to a good start. A top 8 is how many CP?
100.
That's a very good start. Holy.
Yeah. Is this your first year in Masters?
This is second year of Masters.
Yeah. How'd last year go?
Good. Well, I guess technically it started, I aged up in 2019, and then over the COVID, I was a master as well. But okay. I played in London, lost my day 2 winning in. And then the Open was kind of a disaster, but that's okay.
The Open was interesting for everyone. I didn't get to play it, but like just hearing people talk about how they did, it's like some very good players did very bad and some very questionable decks did very well.
Yeah.
Speaking
of, you can't use the term questionable decks when we're about to have the conversation we're about to have.
No, Alex, that was my segue, bro. You messed it up.
Oh, sorry. I'm here to defend all the adjectives we're going to use today.
Yes, Alex is here very specifically for this deck. Yeah. But speaking of questionable decks, before I was rudely interrupted, you played Morpeko Miltank, a deck that I feel like is so under the radar because I have to call it out. I called it out on Twitter. Chip responded on their podcast on Twitter. This was never on stream. Of all the decks on the day, Sojourner is cool. I love watching someone attach an energy and heal 120 damage every single turn until their opponent decks out. Super fun gameplay, right? How did this deck not get on stream? And because of that, I think it was just no one paid attention to the fact that Miltank Morpeko made top 8 at the largest regional ever, a deck that no one knew existed except those people who watch youtube.com/mellow_Magikarp. Jack, how the heck? I'm just going to use, how were you brave enough to bring this deck to the largest regional championship in the history of the Pokemon trading card game? What is the background there?
So I saw the YouTube video. I got informed after NEIC. I saw the deck and I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to play that for Worlds. But I do that a lot for decks. And then I moved on to another deck in 2 days. And I was like, oh, I want to play that instead for Worlds. And then I forgot about it.
Wait, what did you play?
So I played Worlds. I played Palkia for Worlds.
Oh, gross.
Well, yeah. But... And I thought, well, time to play something else. I can't play, because I hit so many mirrors day 1 of Worlds and the Open. I'm not going to play Palkia mirrors again. I got to play something else. So about 3 weeks before Baltimore, I tried Arceus Aggron. I was like, that's fine, but it's not a deck I really enjoy playing, so I'd rather not play it. And then I thought, oh, well, Morpeko takes it. Seems like we just take a very good ADP matchup. And while the new Mew variant's more an even better matchup than the other Mew variant,
really?
I would argue, yeah. And like felt like the stars were kind of aligning. Mewtwo Union didn't see much success at Worlds, which is a matchup you don't really want to hit at all. And I figured, well, now might be the time to try something kind of bold. And if I just have a good run, maybe I'll make day 2.
And it turns out you did have a good run and you did make day 2. Yeah. So you were really, you went into the tournament knowing, like, because you said I had a good run. Did you know you needed a little bit of luck in your matchups? Or did you need a little bit of luck in your draws? Or you're nodding your head yes?
Well, honestly, like the deck itself is pretty consistent. I bricked in top 8, and if I was going to brick in any set, I'd rather be there, just get out of the way. But throughout the day, the deck was very consistent. I just need to hit. It was just like a matchup roulette, really. If I had too many bad matchups, I'm out. If I had too many good matchups, I'm in top 8. But honestly, the point was the day 2. I've never day 2'd a regional before. That was my first one.
What? So that's ridiculous.
I, I was like, well, if everything goes my way, maybe I'll squeak in at 6-1. And I did. So, but I just need, I was like, well, on average, I'll hit maybe 2 Palkia, 1 like Reggie or Mitch of Union. I just need to be okay against that. And then I'll be in. And then everything else I beat.
So going back to the preparation before we get into the actual tournament part of it, how much did you test with the deck versus, because the way you worded that made me sound like you just kind of said, you know what, this deck seems fine, let's just hit the good matchups. Or did you actually grind a bunch of games with it?
Well, I've noticed whenever I do a tournament, I do better if I just pick a deck a few days before and just play it instead of testing. It seems to do worse when I test. Which is really weird, but it
sounds like the opposite of everything I've ever heard from everyone.
Yeah, I have a flow state. When I get into that flow state, I'm good. I just have that when I play new decks. But we've got local kind of Wednesday tournaments where I'm at, and they're pretty good, and everybody there is actually pretty good. So it's good testing. So I did about 15 rounds total over the 3 weeks at Wednesdays with that, and then maybe another 10 games, 15 games outside of it. And I just called it at around 30 games.
Okay.
It was the week before the tournament. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go into Pokemon Cleanse for a week. I don't really want to play any more Pokemon.
I think there's actually some amount of value to that, though, to like mention the... Just as a quick little aside, is sometimes you just be like, I can't play anymore, or else I'm going to overstress and overthink. So I definitely respect that 100%. Just like, I'm just going to not play right now.
But I had my friend Owen, who also played more Pico, the same 60 as me, in Baltimore. He grinded close to 100 games with it. Because he wanted to test, which is crazy. but it was helpful. And let me try out. You know, I think of an idea. I don't want to test it. Let's have somebody else test it. Do that. So it ended up working out pretty well.
So out of curiosity, what are some of those changes that you made, or I guess potentially Owen made, to the deck from the original version that Alex had played at NAIC and we put out the YouTube video and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what are some of those differences and why?
The biggest one was the speed energy. I think that's the most noticeable one. Alex's list played 4 lightning energy. And I played 4 speed energy. In kind of tandem with that basic energy was that Alex's list played a Rhyhorn. And I played no Rhyhorn because I have no basic energy. And the Rhyhorn was interesting to me. I never really got it. I don't really understand what the point of the Rhyhorn is.
So,
and I'd love some clarification.
Yeah, so it's the idea that if you're attacking with Regieleki, you have an energy on it and you're like recycling some stuff. And if they think that they want to boss around it or do some shenanigans around it, they're going to leave the energy on the Regieleki. And then you can Rhyhorn attach and use its second attack to snipe something for 120. And generally speaking, that's like a fairly decent thing because you can take like a Drizzile that's going to become an Inteleon. You can take any sort of counter to something. You can put damage on a Genesect to set it up for a Miltank. Like, there's a lot of different things you can do with it. And it also adds a layer of, like, okay, I need a path this turn. I need a Galar Mine this turn because I'm going to... My next turn, I'm going to set this up. So that's why I liked the Rhyhorn. But then when I saw, like, what you guys did and dropped for the speed energies, in my mind, I was like, yeah, that's probably fine. Like, because the times that you need to Rhyhorn and do cute things are... less than the amount of times that speed energy probably helps you. So, like, yeah, that's why I played it. But yeah, the change that I was like, on. So,
yeah, in the end, I'm really glad we played the speed energy because you just the ability to just draw 2 cards and it not being your supported for turn was so big. The issue I had with Rhyhorn was just I couldn't find it too often. Like, it being relevant enough, I never once attacked with Regieleki in the tournament because I think that attack is just kind of awful. But
you mean the second attack, not the first attack, right?
Or the first attack's awesome. Second attack, I just okay. Never found a good use from. For every situation I was in, I was just like, I would rather use his first attack or just attack with something else. Because getting rid of 2 speed energy right now is a big deal. Or, like, being able to commit 2 speed energy is hard.
As a real quick aside, because I think a lot of people listening... maybe unfamiliar with. They might know Miltank. They know Miltank. They might know more Pico. This is not the Regieleki you probably think it is. This is the one Regigigas doesn't play, or the quote unquote bad Leki, with the first attack that put a trainer card from your discard pile into your hand. And then the second attack is Lightning, Lightning, colorless, discard two Lightning from the Pokemon. This attack does 120 to one of your opponent's bench Pokemon. So when we say the bad attack, that's the one.
Specifically only to the bench.
That was the deal breaker for me. Yeah. I was like, if this could, I actually didn't know it only hit the bench until round one. And I read it. I was like, oh,
that's... Surprise.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this makes my Inteleon matchup a little worse because I can't knock out an Inteleon that's in the active. I don't think you're clean hitting a Inteleon with a Regieleki ever, but, or the situation where you do that are rare, but.
What I was finding is I could take Drizzles that would become it, and I was taking, like, if I tickled with more Peko first, then they got out of the active, then you could give them the full send. So
that's fair.
That's why it was for those clutch plays.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And if I played more Palkia, it would probably come up eventually where I'd want that. But a lot of the times with the speed energy, I would just bench a more Peko. And, like, I'm not really going to use more Pico too often throughout the game. It's there. It's a pivot. And I can just attach speed energy to it. And I just have it as, like, a thing that draws me cards throughout the whole game. As, like, a pseudo engine. And that was just nice to have the whole tournament.
That's, like, a cool, like, deck building thing that I think everyone can kind of get out of this. Speed energy is a really good card. And sometimes just playing consistency cards is good. I know it sounds really obvious, but like as you're saying this, it's like, I never suggested that to Alex. Why did I never suggest that?
You gotta think too, it's like it's the same, not the same entire idea as like Greninja, but like Greninja is energy for two cards. It's literally the same thing. The only thing it uses is your attachment for turn, which this deck doesn't need. Like,
yeah.
Get an early energy on a Miltank to like hope, like if you need to do something with it, like go for it. But outside of that, you don't need to attach every turn.
Exactly.
What are some
of the Greninja?
What are some of the other changes you made either for the Pokemon Go set or to expected meta, or you just thought Alex's list sucked, which is fair.
Okay. So the biggest
that's the second dig at Alex. You get three and then you're done. That's the rule.
But the biggest Pokemon Go set change I found was the Ditto. And I think that's what people noticed as well.
I love the Ditto so much. I think, no, the Ditto's so good.
So I watched the interview. And then this was around the time Pokemon Go was coming out. And then I read Ditto like the next day. And I thought, wait a minute. This would be really good in here. You're all non-Roblox Pokemon. What if I need, like, instead of playing a third Yveltal or a third anything, I could just play Ditto. And throughout the tournament, I just found Ditto to be like an insurance policy. Like, I can make riskier plays because I have Ditto. Like, I can commit this Yveltal against Mew, not when I'm necessarily in the optimal spot, because I know, worst case, if they knock it out, I've still got a Ditto. And that's my 30 Yveltal, because that's my only Pokemon. I don't play Pokemon Recovery. Ditto is my Pokemon Recovery, in a sense. So I found that to be really good. I can make kind of bolder plays with Regieleki, because I could Ditto Regieleki back. I thought it was good. I didn't use it too often, because the deck was just good. And a lot of times I wouldn't need it. But I did use it throughout the day a few times. And those times when like I needed it were games where I was in trouble without it, which was... which made it very important.
So
all right, cool. All right, take a seat. My question is, like, obviously the Raihan gets dropped and you have this extra floating spot because you play the speed energies. I get dropping the Teddy Ursa. I'm not here to defend that god awful card.
Wait, can we please mention, Alex, how did you obtain a Teddy Ursa before NAIC? That's a fun story.
I talked about it. Go watch the thing.
Okay.
Talk about it there. For those that don't know, the quick version of it is that no one had it. The vendors didn't have it in their bulk. So I had to drop $150 on a Darkness Ablaze booster box and open it till I got a Teddy Ursa, which I attacked with zero times. whatever. Dropping the Teddy Ursa for the Ditto makes sense. The Raihan for the fourth Miltank is my, like, big question. Because, like, I get four Miltank, like, of anyone that's gonna get it, like, I get it. I'm curious as to why that wasn't for, like, a second Regieleki, and you still played Ditto for insurance, because when I got back from NAIC, I dropped Teddy Ursa for Regieleki, and then played some locals with it, and I was like, okay, this was the answer. So, I'm wondering why the floating spot went to the fourth mill tank instead of second Leki, or something a little bit more spicy like the spongy gloves or the yell towel.
So spongy gloves was very nearly in the list at first. And I thought, like, well, that'd be really good against Palkia. To just go, it did make it a little tougher to spongy gloves against Palkia because there's no Raihan. Right? Because, like, the Raihan instantly benching it, instantly powering up in one turn seems really good. And you can Raihan for the gloves because they're hard to find. But I never really considered the Yell Towel, which is interesting. But I can understand it.
We dropped it initially for the idea is that with two Leki, you could... I dropped a Switch card for the Yell Towel is what I ended up doing. So it was only three Switch card and a Yell Towel. And the idea is that if you take out all of their Inteleons that are dealing 120, and they still have, like, a pinger or two, and they're just like, cool, I'm going to sit on the pinger Pokemon and just deal 20 a turn, that Switch card isn't enough to fully heal. But every other turn, you Regieleki for Yell Towel. And then you never have to worry about damage sticking.
That's interesting. I didn't consider that.
That's really smart. Yeah, I did not.
Yeah.
It was something I thought of after NAIC, because if you watch the interview with me, like I said, I very similarly to Jack, I basically, like, I tested 6,000 different versions of it and then went, all right, but we're probably fine. Like, sure. I'm just full sent. So the Yell Towel was something I thought of afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm familiar.
But the reason I went for the fourth Miltank over second Regieleki was, one, because I had Ditto, and Ditto copies Regieleki way better than it copies Miltank, because Miltank's special property is its ability, right?
Did you never use Ditto to use Route?
Route is so good. I did Ditto for Route, but...
In what situation was that the correct play? I believe you, but, like...
That's a great question. I wish I remembered. I think I maybe just need to poke a Palkia or, like, knock out an Inteleon, maybe.
Okay.
That's what I would assume, is that it's Inteleon knockout.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway. That was something that we complained about forever ago, was the fact that the thing that, like, gate kept Miltank, like, the ability is good and all, but, like, the damage output's the thing that, like, really doesn't, it keeps it from being, like, the best.
It's a bad card. Yeah. Let's just call it what it is. Miltank is a bad attack.
It is now.
Well, sorry Sableye exists. Anyway,
sorry, Cramorant. Are you kidding me? It's Cramorant's the problem.
And don't forget Shred.
Oh my god.
Oh god, it's so bad. But anyway, all right, Jack, we cut you off in the middle of the Ditto copying.
Route was never a great attack to begin with. I wasn't thrilled when I got to Route every turn, but honestly, I liked the fourth Miltank. One, because I just like starting it. Regieleki is a cool starter. Miltank's a cooler starter. In case of, like, a donk, right? Like, if your hand isn't great and you get one Pokemon to start with, make it Miltank. That is your best chance of surviving.
Is Meloetta the only thing in the format that's going to KO a Miltank on turn two? Like, unless there's, like, a weird Decidueye and they happen to have the perfect fighting energy double turbo. But that's so unlikely, right?
Rare Candy.
That'll do it. Piper did it. I didn't know she played Rare Candy until she donked me, or took a knockout in the Miltank turn two. And I was like, well, that's...
Okay, that one makes sense too, yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, I don't think so. But Barrel could do it if they go really aggressive, hit heads, get good pings, which opponents had to go for over the course of the day.
Yeah,
I love it. The moment that my opponent's attached to a Barrel, I'm just like, here we go.
Yeah,
I win.
You don't play a counter. You're attaching to a Barrel. You're out of options.
Yep.
That's So as someone who's, like, on the outside talking to two Miltank players, is it... The keys you have to attach to be Barrel, but as soon as you do that, are you tipping your hand that I have nothing in my deck? Is there ever anything else to do? to play a mind game that I can do, or is it just like you have to attach and hope for the best?
Yeah, I think you have to attach and hope for the, like, the thing is, like, you know you're probably going to lose that matchup. I think two different ways, especially with Arceus Pikachu, the only two ways that you win are, like, praying to Arceus, literally, that you hit a Bidoof, like, and you're doing things with a barrel and stuff, or that you get the Pikachu super, super early and hope the Miltank player is bad and decks themselves out. Outside of those two options, like, you're not.
Yeah.
Jack, do you have an anti-deck out strategy?
Shauna. Shauna was in the list. Shauna was my plan. Nobody went for it with Pikachu, but in testing locals, people tried to Pikachu the deck, and then I just draw pass throughout 20, 30 turns, play down Shauna, and my deck's about to run out. And then no matter what, they can Marnie me, but they'll be at a card deficit because they draw an extra card with Marnie, and then they have to play Marnie, a card from their hand. Whereas I can just sit, not play any cards, and then get my hand shuffled back in for me through their Marnie. And I should, like, always win that deck out. Worst case, if it's not going well, you Regieleki, you get the Shauna back. Mm-hmm. But that shouldn't come up if they don't have a counter for Miltank and you just have a Miltank in the active.
I'm surprised to hear no one went for that, because I would have felt like been one of the main strategies you'd automatically try to do, but
yeah,
maybe that's just
it's
me.
Also, no.
All it's an extra out against, Stonejourner.
Oh, Stonejourner's bad. So the funny story about Stonejourner is the guy who played Stonejourner was the other guy in the car with me. So
we were, your car was two Meltinks and a Stonejourner?
And a Mew driver.
Well, yeah, make the Mew player do the work.
Yeah, whatever. But, so he never actually figured out what our deck did until the car ride back, where he's like, okay, please just explain to me what your deck does. I just thought it was jank. We did talk about it with him, and we did figure out that if he's smart, he plays four Kabu, he plays full face guard, they probably win that deck out.
Yeah, because you do zero damage.
Yeah.
I've actually legitimately played against the deck. Like, the day I got back from NAIC, I drove straight here and Owen was hanging out. And he's like, all right, I don't get the deck, show me it. So we ran it up on ladder, and the first deck was Stonejourner. And I was like, okay, this isn't a good idea, but here we go. And we sat there for an hour. We almost timed out on PTCGO. The way that you beat the Stonejourner deck is that they have to use more cards to tank than you do, because they need to put their stone energies down, and, like, you can play around them having to evolve stone energy, blah, blah, blah. And so the turn that they Kabu, you Marnie. And both people always deck out, and you match every single one of their Kabus with a Marnie, because then it doesn't really help them, it just helps you. And the moment they run out of Kabus, that's when you hit them with a Shauna for the last turn and they deck out.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
But also, that took you an hour without shuffling.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds miserable.
Yeah, I was just off the plane ride too. I was dead tired, and I always was like, "Show me the deck," and I'm just clicking. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, Jack.
But the Stonejourner and I actually, like, matched records almost all of day two. I was so paranoid of hitting that Stonejourner, and just every round I didn't hit it. I was like, oh.
That's got to feel good.
One more round.
Legitimately, if that was a thing, I would have just been like, hey, we're IDing and going to get food.
I hope so, yeah.
That's true. If you knew them, that would actually potentially work.
Yeah. 100%. Well, he knew he had a good shot. So I asked him, like, if we play, we IDing, right? He said, well, I don't know about that.
But then the moment they play three cards out of their hand, you win.
Assuming you start the mill.
No,
Yeah.
You would do system Miltank.
Because, like, but the thing is, the other fun part, though, is that if you don't start Miltank, they're like, oh, I need to knock this thing out. And they attach, like, four energies to it. And you're like, great, cool. Here's a capture energy for a Miltank. I win.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
It's almost a bait. It's if you start anything else, they start attaching energies. And then you're just like, great. Mm-hmm. Like, the moment they attach two energies, that's your quick ball for Miltank. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk about the tournament. Instead of the not hitting the Stonejourners, I want to talk about what you did hit. Because we got some of the changes in the list, some of the weird things. And the first thing for the tournament that I want to talk about is, and I do this with everyone because I feel like this is the most important part of the game, you're sitting down for round one. It is, you play the Open, but like this is the first regional of the year. The Open, sorry to everyone who played in the Open, the Open feels like a meme. For everyone who played in Worlds, you sit down at the Open, you're like, I'm just here because I'm already here. Otherwise, that's how I felt when I'm like, I don't care about this. I'm going to do my best, but it doesn't. Alex looks really upset at that.
That's a bad take. That's a bad take, Kevin.
No, that is the take. I don't like the Open. And the Open should exist. I don't care about it. Anyway, this is the first tournament of the year. You're sitting down with, this is a word we agreed upon before Alex yells at me, a janky deck. Everyone in the room, you are the one who's most likely to be labeled the beginner deck that you only hit round one and then you never have to worry about for the rest of the tournament. What is going through your head? Are you feeling confident? Are you feeling nervous? Are you just simply excited? Like, how are you feeling with four mill tanks and the rest of 56 cards?
Well, I pulled up to round one, sat down thinking, I'm going to play a funny deck for 9 rounds. And it's going to go pretty good or it's going to go really bad. And I'm going to think, why did I play mill tank at one of my few regionals of the year? I spent a regional on that. Or it's going to go well.
So you are prepared for the worst, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That feels like an important part of bringing a deck like this.
Yeah. I actually, so we thought about it, and we thought, well, most people don't know what Miltank Morpeko is. So if I flip over a Morpeko, what do people think? Do they think this is a control master? They have cracked the format. Or do they think, I'm playing them round one. They found something cool in their binder. So what I did to maximize my odds of them thinking the latter was I showed up at the regional mat for the Giratina one. My deck was in a plastic bag. I used board game dice. And the whole thing was in one big freezer bag. So I showed up with my freezer bag and my mat, and I plopped down and I said, I'm just here to play some Pokemon. And it's true. I was here to play some Pokemon, but it worked. Or I don't know if it worked or not. But
it did not work, at least.
The judges found it funny in top 8, actually. When I show up and they got to move their clipboards because my freezer bag's too big.
That's so good. Like, you didn't even change it out. You didn't even have a deck box ready. You just...
I had a Dragon Shield box. That's where I kept my deck. But
you didn't ETB sleeve it?
I just used the Dragon Shield box. That's EDBs require me to spend more money.
Okay, that's fair.
So
ETB also, that feels so sketchy because they're so bad.
Change them every round.
Yep.
That's money. That is a lot of money.
I'm not doing that.
If anyone wants to do that at their next regional, swing by Tabletop Village. We'll hook it up with 9 different ETB sleeves. If you promise to switch them every single round, at me on Spokane Pokemon. We'll hook it up.
I do have to give a shout out to Andrew Kennett for winning Salt Lake City Regionals with the Eevee sleeves that everyone got. All of his friends gave him theirs, and he just constantly re-sleeved when he had to.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. He used the Eevee sleeves.
I love that guy so much.
I don't, because he beat me on the winning into Top Cut. But he's a very nice person. There's nothing against him. He's very nice, but he beat me, so I don't like him. Anyway, so round one, what were you up against?
It was Ice Rider with Barrel with the one Empoleon and the one Cologne.
Ooh, how do you handle Empoleon?
Pretty well. That's like one, they play one training court, one pump caboot. So if they see any of those pieces early, you hold your paths or you even play one to bait one out early game and just buy yourself time to set up like a great hand. They commit a bunch of stuff to Empoleon. And then you either go path and they have no response. And then Empoleon's a dead card. Or path, they have one response, path them again, and then they lose.
Was the path in the deck for Empoleon, or is it just a happy, like, surprise?
Many other things, one of them is in Bullion. But Path is just a great stadium.
I mean, true.
It's also in that deck from Mew, you noob.
Why did you use ASMR into my podcast? Anyway, so the Path for Empoleon, absolutely disgusting good card, obviously.
But even without that, if you early game can like boss up the barrels and just make them burn switch cards, Morpeko is a pretty good answer to Empoleon. Because one, it damages them for weakness. If you go like Morpeko, you can just go Morpeko route knockout, which is something that happened. That's what I did round one. And Empoleon's attack has a nice little clause where it has to move an energy away from the Empoleon. So it forces them to keep digging for new outs to Empoleon every turn. It's such a high maintenance tech that like it wasn't really a big deal.
Yeah, that's something that everyone always finds out. I've watched various streamers of all levels from Tord to randos that I found because I wanted to see what people were playing when the set dropped that are like, oh, I have to move the energy. This card sucks.
The thing about Empoleon is a good answer for like one or maybe two mill tanks, but not four and two more Pekko.
Yep.
Like that's you don't have one Empoleon's not going to do a trick against all that.
Yeah. Not to mention that the deck does play three Cape of Toughness. Empoleon doesn't knock out a tank with Cape of Toughness.
Yep.
That's actually
they
so
need
funny.
To find their Pool Scrapper, which you're not gonna play Capes down until like you need them. So if they discard it early, that's on them. They're not getting any value out of it.
That matchup's free.
It's a good. We talking about it before, like, what is our best matchup in the field right now? And we're like, that's a strong contender.
It's literally anything with Babarrel. Because if they're playing Babarrel, they're not playing, like, a lot of other, like, random stuff. So, or Mew, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. So, one asterisk to that matchup is that you do need to not play kind of foolishly. Watch out for canceling Cologne. Like, respect it that they can just Cologne for one knockout on a Miltank out of nowhere. So don't just go like solo Miltank,
right?
Or like do almost nothing to set up your board and just be like, I have Miltank, I win. Because like set up a good strong board to deal with Empoleon / one Miltank that will get knocked out by Cologne.
And this is
otherwise
where,
you're fine.
This is where meta knowledge, if you're going to play a control or like anti-meta deck, is so important. Because if you say that, if you don't look at the world results, you're like, Cologne's probably not in this. Like, why would they do that? They already have the Miltank answer, but you play Cologne for Manaphy with Greninja, and Grant Manley played it at Worlds, and Grant Manley's a good person in net deck. So this is where that meta knowledge is so important. So now you hit, this is called an auto win round one. I'm not sure if there's more auto wins than that, but okay, you'll call it that.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling after round one? Are you like, this is my day, I'm on top of the world?
I'm feeling pretty good. I've won round one. The other Miltank, Morpeko, has won round one. I thought, you know what? This is our tournament. We cracked the code.
Let's go.
But then round two, I hit Urshifu, Inteleon, Zebstrika, which
yes!
You played against that same guy. It was the same guy.
But did I play?
Yeah.
No kidding. He was like, yo, I know what I'm doing here.
Yes.
That's so funny. No. What is this person thinking?
Oh no, you found the two people.
So I assume that went very badly because Zebstrika hits 120 as a
You would think.
I do think.
But
prove me wrong.
The way that I won that matchup was game one, I filled his bench turn one or two, and I Avery'd. I knocked out all four of his Sobbles that game. And he was just out. He never
so
once
good.
Got to use Zebstrika. Because I would just never let him Zebstrika. If he keep calling, I'd boss his Blitzel, knock it out. If he didn't keep calling, I'd knock out a Sobble. Or like put damage on a Sobble, threaten him in some way. And I did that whole game one. Never got any concrete attack going. And he just had to scoop. And then game two, he went Sobble pass. And then I went Morpeko torment, keep calling. And you couldn't get Pokemon after that.
Yeah.
That's gross.
The matchup is surprisingly like not the worst. Because like his only out to like a caped, like he plays Tool Scrapper, or not Tool Scrapper, Tool Jammer. which helps. But like, yeah, it seems really rough. But we drew because he won game one, I won game two. But the game that I won, he like couldn't get a different substrika into the active. He has to constantly pivot between the two. Because you can't use the same Substrika. So as long as you like bounce the Tower of Waters and like get rid of his energies, you're fine.
Yeah.
Fine. So you're 2-0 now. You just pulled out. I'm gonna be honest. So the game one sounds like a very valid way to win. Game two, torment on keep calling so they don't set up is technically valid, but that's gotta feel like a little bit of a like, all right, we take those.
I take and run with it. I don't think any win I can get with the deck at that point.
So now you're 2-0. How else is everything going? Like, what else is happening in day one?
The other Morpeko Miltank loses. I'm like, okay, they hit a Palkia. That's rough. It reminded me not to hit Palkias. So then next round I hit Palkia.
Oh, no.
And that was kind of just a really poor round. Didn't set up too well. Palkia played, knew what they were doing, competent player, you know, like they see they're not like burning energy everywhere. They've got the Inteleon set up early, putting pressure, and I just can't do anything. Game two, it's kind of the same story. Oh, game one, actually, that was more game two. Game one, I can't find any more Pokemon, and I've got Miltank active. I have to bench Ditto, and turn two, they go, Goonping, Miltank, Scoop of Neck, Goonping, Miltank, Greninja, knockout, knockout. And I just get board wiped because I'm out of Pokemon.
That feels so bad.
Yeah. So that was just a quick set, and it's just not too much I could have done there, but that's the danger of the Palkia matchup.
They have so many tools and so many weapons, which is exactly what I was finding the entire time trying the deck. Yeah. And even I have to give a shout out to Ahmed Ali, who Alex played against at NAIC, who DM'd me after the video with Alex. And he's like, you don't think this is a real deck, right? It never beats Palkia. And
you didn't tell me this.
Oh, I should have told you.
Oh, I love that guy. Oh, man. Yeah, because after we played, he's just like, how did you win 4 games with this?
So Jack, what are some other good highlight matches from day one?
I lost the next one because of Reggie's. That one wasn't very eventful. I tied a Mew. Game one, do your thing. Game two, gotta get Mewed. I can't get anything set up. Game three, it's a tie. But I did win against Palkia.
Mm-hmm.
Game one, they prized Shady Dealings, and they played the one. And I started really aggressive with the Miltank, and I just took out Drizzt because I knew I assumed they played quick shooting. And I was like, well, if I can just like stop them from setting up, I will just be able to poke this Shady Dealings or quick shootings with like bosses before they can just take a prize. So we go to game two. It's not good. Don't set up like as well as I want to, as well as you have to against Palkia.
Mm-hmm.
And they go fast. They do their thing. So I lose that. Game three, I'm going aggressive. Like, I'm trading prizes. But I have to trade prizes in a way that gets me, like, Roxanne.
Can your deck survive a Roxanne?
Not typically. it's tough. In theory, it should, because you play a lot of supporters. But sometimes you just don't draw out of Roxanne. And it was looking like I wasn't going to draw out of Roxanne. And it was the last turn where I was in the game still. And I top deck marked. And I'm like, cool. Your hand is big. It's got all the outs to win next turn. Let's Marnie. You have no more outs to Inteleon this game. Because, you know, I've knocked out Drizzt early game.
Yep.
Everyone else is an attacker. And if you net them, you're out of attackers. So I Marnie them. I get what I need. I knock out, like, their Shady Dealings Inteleon. And I just get it. And it sticks.
That's such a good feeling. Survive.
Yeah. Otherwise, I hit another Ice Rider. No tech.
Easy. So at this point, you're 4-2-1.
I'm skipping some rounds, and I just can't. Oh, I played Arceus Pikachu with the Decidueye, but they weren't able really to get the Decidueye out. It's hard for them to do it because it takes fighting, and they don't play a ton of fighting. especially the second place Worlds list, only plays the two fighting instead of three. Sometimes they play Rod, which can make it a little trickier, but then they have to find Rod, and he discarded Rod early. So I was like, wow, this is pretty good.
I assume
the same way you beat Duraludon too. You just get rid of their fighting energies.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, you just hammer the fightings, and then if you can't do something, you're like, okay, I'm going to torment the Decidueye. You play zero switches, because why would you play switches? And they can't hard retreat it, or else they're going to run out of energy. So the Decidueye is actually not a good answer to four Miltanks, is it?
No, which is part of why we wanted four Miltank. It's because a Decidueye that gets what they need at the right time can deal with three Miltanks sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that fourth Miltank is really just a little too much. One interesting note about the Decidueye is if you torment them, they can't attack, which is cool. But they can use the attack that searches for two cards and puts them in their hand.
Oh, so I forgot that attack.
They will attack. it definitely helps if you can just Marnie them, and then you know they aren't seeing those cards.
Yeah.
That one I won. So I was on my win in. I was looking, hoping for good matchups. I was looking around.
Quick pause. You had a Miltank Morpeko had a win in, and it wasn't streamed. I'm still salty that this deck was not streamed. I had to watch the Mew Mirror match.
Dave, I mentioned this on Twitter before, but I've been like the number one seed with Sable Garb a few times, and both on each occasion, the stream group came up to me and said, "Hey, just to let you know, we're not streaming you because no one likes watching control," which. Like, I get on a certain aspect of things, but yeah, when there's an interesting control list, they sure put it on there. So I don't know what their deal is, because like we've been in this format for how long has this format been going on for? Like 4 or 5 years or something. So like Mew versus Mew is nothing new to anybody.
Yeah,
it bothered me. I'm sitting here like rooting for my boy over here. Like, hey, let's get some more Pekka on stream. Because like round three, someone texted me like, "Hey, dude, like Miltank Morpeko is in the field," and I was like, "It better be on stream," and it wasn't.
Yeah, and shout out to Bob McDougal on this one, Gab, for like in the Discord tagging and being like, "Hey, this deck is doing really well," because otherwise we would have had no idea, because there's like no report, right? There's no way to tell what's going on. So yeah, that was anyway, winning it. You're looking around the field.
Winning in.
All good matchups?
I'm looking. Matchups seem pretty good. I'm seeing some Arceus. Arceus is pretty much all Arceus variants are good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to see that. And then round one, I flip over. Game one, it's a Sobble. I think this makes it tougher. If this is Palkia, this is going to be a scary round. And then they attach fire energy. Keep calling. I think, oh, okay. This is interesting. Because I have no idea how the Viridian Star matchup plays out. I've never played it before.
Yeah, why would you test that matchup? Like,
I just figured I'll wing it. It's good. Just run it. But my advantage is I know that like if you don't KO them, they don't have a way to accelerate Jinteleon. Because Magma Basin only works on fire Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So my plan is dig hard for hammers and never let them attack with Jinteleon. So what I do is I have a hammer in my opening hand. I flip it, it's heads. Perfect. I bought myself at least one turn. I go, Regieleki, get back that hammer. They attach another energy. Hammer, heads. Bought myself another turn. Get back with the hammer with Regieleki. My whole game one was just, hope I don't flip tails with heads. And I flip a bunch of heads.
Bless.
We take those.
And it worked. Eventually, they just ran out. They got to use Clara. They got to use Ordinary Rod. And they just run out of water energy. Because they only play two. And I didn't see Twin Energy in their list. So they might not have played Twin. Or it was Prize. So it didn't matter.
Late game, you're also not worried too much because like it's only the Inteleon because you can just stick a path against the Zard.
Exactly.
So like Zard almost sometimes being dead because if they're spending so much time getting switch outs to like deal with more Pekko, this is like your plan B, and they're spending all these switch outs. If they have a bench of Zard, you boss it, stick a path, and they can't do anything because it's three retreat.
Scoop up net.
That's
anyway. I'm the Radiant Zard simp, so I have to defend the deck.
Well, like if you're more echoing them to death, right? If you're like poke, they're gonna burn two or three nets before that happens. Yeah. If they're holding all four nets in that scenario, like you might as well go to game two.
Yeah.
But they've definitely.
So game two. Game two, hammer flip plan does not work. I flip tails, which is a bad sign.
True.
So I start using my Regieleki's, but they just have it. Like, they're taking knockouts on my Regieleki. I'm out of Regieleki at that point. Like, Ditto's gone, Regieleki's gone. That's not good. I've got more Pikos, and I've got Miltank, and I'm not confident that I can prize trade with Miltank.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I need to just stall things. Burnouts. Take prizes, right? Kind of, like, go with them into using Radiant Art. And it happens. They bench the Radiant Art. They've got about maybe three prizes left. They take a prize and go down to two. I think I need to get this Radiant Art in the active and stall it. If I can do that, I win. But I need to stall something else. They had a Snorlax in play. I think I bossed a Snorlax or something like that. And they have to net it. That's four nets. I think, okay, I need to stick this, but there's an Inteleon with two water energy on there right now. If I boss the Charizard with two fire energy on that, it's got a three retreat cost. It's not moving. Game's over. And I just don't bench anything because they have cross switchers left.
Smart.
So I just had one Miltank in the active. There's a Charizard. If they play anything else, I'm done. I'm toast. I just need them to not have any more outs left. And they just can't find it. So
Sheesh.
I win that game too by like the slimmest of margins.
Did they not have, because I got to ask, like Air Balloon or Escape Rope?
Air Balloon
or...
had been played earlier.
Okay. That makes sense then.
I didn't see any ropes, unlike Piper's list, which had plenty of ropes. There were no ropes in that list.
Well, one rope does make a big difference.
Next generation of control player right here. That's what's up.
Hey, you're not wrong. Like, everything I'm hearing is like, you know what you're doing, Jack. This is really good to hear everything, like all the thought process of the games. Oops.
Call up Sander and I. We'll let you into the club.
Okay.
Don't act like you have any power in this club.
No, Sander's the president. I'm not in the club yet. You'd ask him.
I did see Sander responded to the tweet about your top eight. That's got to feel good.
Control cosine.
Right? Like, yeah. Ooh. All right. So you win. You win the matchup. You 2-0 it too, which... I will stand by forever. That is a good matchup for Radiant Zard. But
do you want to run it? Do you want to run a best 3 out of 5 tomorrow on stream?
That sounds terrible. No. Why would I want to do that?
We'll do it.
But anyway,
we'll tag team it, you know.
I'd rather play you than Jack. Well, one of you was successful.
Oh, because I'm worse. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your third.
All right. So you
made slammer. I was like, you just met the guy.
No, he top eighted. I haven't top eighted anything yet. I can't slam. I gotta set my game up. I'm 0-2 on my winning into top cutter regionals. It's trash.
There are more top eights in the control portion of this podcast here.
So anyway, that's sad. Let's move on. You make your first ever day two. How are you feeling Saturday night? Are you, I've got to get to bed ASAP. I've got to study what other people are playing. I got to go get the best dinner possible with the homies. Like, where are we at with this feeling?
I have to go study. I have homework to do.
Nice.
I got school to do.
Oh, you literally homework, not.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
No, I get dinner at Shake Shack. Very nice with the homies.
Good choice.
I checked day two. Finally, day two's out.
Did they know what you're playing?
And I see I'm like 83rd. Nobody knows what I'm playing. It's not a book stat.
Nice.
My group knows, and that's about it.
I'm gonna be honest. If they listed what you're playing on PokéStats, I feel like everyone would have assumed it was a meme. Because like SLC going into day two, they had Chera Maractus on there, or they had Durant something on there, and I was like, this is worthless. I can never trust PokéStats again.
So they were lying about the Maractus thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. Anyway, so you check it. They don't know what you're playing, which is huge. You can see what other people are playing. You do some homework.
Yeah, I had a chapter of my novel to read, so go back to the hotel, read that, go to bed, get a nice sleep.
Nice.
I'm up at like 6:30 the next morning. Have no breakfast, actually. That was maybe a misplay, but whatever. I
could have won the tournament if I had a breakfast.
Right?
Yeah. That was
a shout out to breakfast.
No.
This is the real winner.
So you're sitting down for round 10, your first ever day two.
Yeah.
You were kind of able to celebrate, but you also had to do homework and get up early. So not that much celebrating. It's kind of an anticlimactic weekend there. But what are you feeling sitting down for round 10? Do you know what your opponent's playing? Are they on PokéStats?
So they were not on PokéStats.
Okay.
I'm in the dark here. I'm sitting down thinking, okay, three wins should be good for top 64. If I get to three, I have top 64. That's the goal. We'll assess how I'm doing if I get to three wins. But they flip over the cards. It's Mew. It's the four PokéStop version. That's good. I thought, already right now, I know what their list is. I know what kind of energy, like, availability they have. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
Four.
yeah. They have a harder time with Meltank. They have less energy available. They play Silene and Palpad. But they all flip heads for that. So that's like a bad energy recovery. 50% of the time they get like one energy back.
Yep.
And 25% of the time they just lose. So
it went pretty well.
Yeah, you know, especially like they attach two energy at one point, Yveltal gets two energy.
That's so gross.
Yeah.
The overcommitment, so, the punish. You love to see
that. That was round 10. Pretty much same story both games. Game two we go to time, but like they're not winning in time. Yeah. I'm not winning in time. It's a tie, but I've won game one. So
perfect. The long game one pays off for control.
Yeah. So round 11, 12, and 13 were all very similar in one way, in that they didn't play a concrete answer to Miltank.
I did see Xander's salty tweet about hitting a Miltank deck.
That was me.
I feel like this is just makes it a good meta call for day two. The fact that you hit three decks in a row, some people say it's lucky. I would say this is you predicting a day two meta effectively. Like, exactly what's supposed to happen happened.
Yeah. I will say, I did get very lucky. Every time I sat down on a round, round 12, I hit Xander. And in between round 11 and 12, I'm like, oh, it'll be awesome if I get hit Xander. I think that's my best possible matchup in the field right now. Cool, I hit Xander.
Yep.
I checked the pairing like 20 seconds later. So I sit down, I'm playing against Xander. Like, he doesn't play like a Meltek answer, so I'm just kind of watching around the other table, seeing what's going on. And I see Reggie versus Mewtwo Reunion. Uh-oh. Mewtwo Reunion over. I think that's not good. Some of these are going to go to 9-2-1. I'm going to hit them next round. So I thought, well, I had a good run. I'm getting top 64. Next round's it. It's over. And then I get my next round. Chris Franco. I don't know what they're playing. But so I check PokéStats. It's up. It's Arceus Lucario. I think, oh, that's good.
Oh, is it like, so it's like the Decidueye build except Lucario instead of Decidueye?
Yes.
Freed up.
One of those builds has a shred basic V, one does not. And the one that does not is Lucario. So that was a barrel and hope game, kind of series, and it didn't work.
Yeah. So, I don't think that strategy ever really works. Not against the third and fourth mill tanks. All right, so
no, they got like two knockouts though, so it was respectable.
Okay, not bad.
So it could have gone away.
So two auto wins in a row, and Mew is.
Yeah,
I don't know if Mew's an auto win, but I don't think Mew's a bad matchup. The four DTE build,
it's good.
It's okay. So right,
it's what I want.
Your day two is focused.
60-40.
Yeah. So I forgot to mention, but I hit Arceus Aggron as well. Another really solid matchup.
No shred.
And they can try to mill you with the VMAX. Doesn't work. You will just knock it out.
Nice.
So I'm 4-0, and I'm thinking, you know what? If I'm getting streamed, it's probably now. So I was kind of expecting to get streamed. And it looks like by Chip's tweet that like they want to stream me that round. But I got up paired to Piper. And I thought, oh, it's Radiant's hard. I'm not on stream now because Piper is just on stream.
Yeah.
If I can win this, I'm in. So we'll see what happens. So I sit down with Piper. I say, what are you playing? Nobody knows I'm playing Miltank deck, more Pico. And I'm calling it a Miltank deck over more Pico deck. So I'm saying, I'm playing Miltank. So she goes, I don't want to play against Mewtwo Union. I'm going to get lunch. Okay. Scoop.
Nice.
So then we leave.
That's actually so funny because when she tweeted out that she scooped you in, I was like, oh, what a flex scooping in an auto win without realizing she thought it was an auto loss. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I mean, you'll take it regardless.
I will definitely take it. but then what was funny is that they wanted us for a deck check and they had to call us out on the kind of loudspeakers, Backmore, Piper Lapine at the purple table immediately. We come over and they weren't very happy. Said, you left before the round started. Don't do that. they gave us the matchup, but the round hadn't started yet. So we had to sit down, get deck checked. Piper realized that I was playing more Pigo. Like, oh, it's that deck. which is fine because Radiant Zarge got a pretty good matchup against more Pigo. But then last round, sit down, I hit Mew. But I figured, I just want this top 8. I'm going to ID. Maybe I can pair myself against this Mew in top 8 the way this ID worked. It didn't. But it was possible. I just needed a little worse resistance.
Yeah, but definitely the so move then, to ID there into...
Yeah.
Yeah, you never want to eliminate a bad matchup. Or a good matchup, sorry.
Yeah. Although I got up paired again. So maybe in retrospect, the play was, I played out, try to win. I hit a high seed and I dodge all the Radiant Zards for another round. But I figured I just want top 8 this. Make sure I have more Pico Miltank in top 8. Lock it up. It'd be so unfortunate if I lost a Mew after throwing away a top 8 ID.
Yeah. Alex, I saw you shaking your head. Yes, you've been there before. I've only had round 14 win-in-ins. I've never been able to ID an in. Are you just like straight up like, yes, you ID. You don't try and beat to get a higher seed?
Oh, I don't ever worry about the seeding. The seeding into top 8 is never something I've ever worried about. It's more of the do you scoop or play something in, right? Like, so yeah, if Piper thinks that she's got a great win in, yeah, you scoop to it to flex if you're in that scenario. But you never really worried about seeding because it's so hard to calculate it out.
That makes sense.
I don't know. I've always been the two or three times that I was the one seed, I was like already there and just like, yeah, I'm IDing and having lunch.
Okay.
So
now going into top 8, you end up hitting Piper, who has now figured out what you're playing technically. I don't know if she knows anything about the 60, but
I think she figured it out. She knew what I did.
Shout out to Piper for knowing Miltank more Pico.
Well, she is a Mellow _ Magikarp fan, so...
As everyone should be.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that more people didn't know about it.
It's got a lot of YouTube views, actually. But anyway, that's not the point of this. How did that top 8 matchup go?
Which do you attribute that to? Do you attribute to the deck or the co-host?
Definitely.
Remember, you've used your 3 already.
The deck. The deck is very good clickbait.
Damn it.
But how did that top 8 matchup go? Because the caster said they didn't pick it on purpose because it was so good for Piper. Was that an accurate?
They made the correct choice. casters know what they're doing. It was over in 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wasn't good. I spent more time shuffling than playing.
Yikes.
But... yeah, no, game one, I wasn't drawing super hot. I was missing outs, missing Poke Gears. And Piper plays for Candy. So already, her deck is more aggressive than my winning deck, right? Mm-hmm. It played two escape rope in the winning list, right? Which is also harder because there are more pivot outs. And, like, my things aren't safe on bench. Especially if I'm trying to limit my bench. Or, like, I have to bring, like, I feel like benchy Veltals to make sure, like, they can't rope into, like, a Miltank. And then they have to take a Veltal. Which means I have to go find your Veltals, which I couldn't do if I wasn't drawing things off PokéGear. So both games were kind of that. Writing was on the wall both games. I got to get home. It's a long drive. I scooped them up. But
I mean,
yeah, overall, top 8? It was a fun top 8.
You got, is that the only playmat you're ever going to use now?
Until I get another top 8 mat.
There we go.
Bro. He's like, until Peoria, my guy.
Jack, are you going to go to Peoria?
I'm going to Toronto.
Toronto, okay.
Peoria is too far.
For me, too.
14-hour drive.
Which of these United States do you reside in?
None of them.
Ottawa, Ontario. Or
oh! Oh, that's right. Someone, yeah. Someone mentioned, yeah, okay. Never mind.
It was like 9 hours to get to Baltimore. It's like it was a drive.
Silly me.
So,
sheesh.
Yeah, it took a while.
Well, congratulations on the top 8. And as a way to leave people, so you're not going to Peoria, but have you tested Lost Origin? And if so, what is the deck you would bring if you were going next week?
I've given it serious thought because I do have people going.
Okay.
I'd love to help them.
You don't have to leak if it's what they're going to do.
Leak.
They don't know about it yet, but I've been testing. And I think a Giratina toolbox deck is absolutely a good call. Build it correctly, play correctly. I think you can just lock up a day 2.
I'm in 100% agreement there. In fact, I put out a YouTube video with the 60 that I am currently in love with, but
this whole podcast has just been an advertisement for the YouTube channel.
Yes. That's all. Yeah. That's all it ever is.
Oh, we're using you for a jig.
I love Giratina, so I co-sign that completely. I think Giratina is so good. And if you're like, oh, how do you beat the single prizers? You are a single prize deck.
Yeah, you can pivot to it. Super easy.
It's so good. All right, so there you go. If anyone wanted the what's the play for Peoria, 2 out of 3 people on this podcast are pro Giratina.
Someone didn't even ask the other person.
Alex, what jank would you play?
It could have been 3 to 3. No, I've been testing Lost Zone type boxes. Everything under the sun. The one that I will shout out since I have this public platform and that our little group, we went into the kitchen, cooked up some stuff. Now that I have you, Snorlax. Okay, Snorlax is a pretty good attacker in the Lost Zone box things, right?
Correct.
It's 3 colorless energies to hit for 210 damage if you have a band. What if I told you there is a Pokemon out there for 3 colorless energies that can hit for 280 with 3 attachments? 280 with the same amount of materials you need for Snorlax. Would you play it?
I know the answer to this, so I don't want to spoil it. Jack, would you play this absolutely broken Pokemon that you're currently trying to play?
You need a band, you need 3 attachments, right? And if you're playing Mirage Gate, you can get there kind of easily, right? Or if you're like, oh, I need a twin energy and an attachment, still Mirage Gateable, right?
It looks like I've got to read PKMN cards tonight.
It exists out there. It's got 90 HP. It's from Chilling Rain.
Alex is gonna leak it.
It's hey, you know what? I'm gonna give a little homework to the listeners today. It's a 90 HP Pokemon from Chilling Rain. It's got 3 energy attack. It can hit 280 pretty easily. The same amount of ease that Snorlax can. Now, granted, I think double Snorlax is a really, really good way to counter all of the Sableye stuff going on. Because, like, one Snorlax you can kind of get through, just go cram, cram, cool. Or, like, late game, you play around, you hit up with a Charizard, right, in that specific matchup. But double Snorlax is so much harder for the Sableye players to deal with. So, if you like the warm, fuzzy feeling that Snorlax gives you because of the Sableye matchup, fine. But if you want something a little spicy, Chilling Rain, 90 HP Pokemon, it's a colorless type, but not always. So, take a look.
I do have to give a shout out to, for anyone who doesn't know, Snorlax's ability isn't useless because Sableye damage counters don't go onto it. Insane. Shout out to me figuring that out on PTCGO, where I clicked it 12 times and nothing happened.
Locals last night, I played against Kobe and I was playing the Sableye janky stuff. And he started double Snorlax and in my mind I was like, what do I do?
Lose.
Like, I was freaking out. I need 4 Articunos that I don't play in my deck.
Jack, if the people want to find more of you, where can they find you? Or any shout outs also?
I Well, shout out to Owen, who tested with me. Everybody else who supported me in the car, drove me places. I'm not legally allowed to drive that long, so I need somebody else to get me there. Shout out to Bob McDougall for alerting the world of the deck and giving me the ditto. So,
right on. And Twitter handle.
People want to find me. I'm at the Zombie Taco with a zero instead of an O on Twitter.
Perfect. Go drop a follow, y'all.
There's an O at the end, right?
Pardon?
Because there's an O in Zombie and an O in Taco.
There's an O at Taco.
I'll have it linked in the description box, either on the YouTube video or on your podcasting platform to make it way easier. Alex, where can the people find you if they want more of you for some reason?
I'm gonna be on Mellow _ Magikarp every day from now on, so you can just tune in like any Twitch stream. A big announcement: any Twitch, any YouTube, I'm gonna be here every day, so you can just tune in to Mellow _ Magikarp on Twitch or on YouTube. I'll be here.
None of that's true.
if not, at Spokane Pokemon's my Twitter handle, or Facebook, or I don't know, Carrier Pigeon.
If you wanna
figure out something, like, I'm around. And shout out to Mello for having us. Shout out to Jack for doing so dang well with the deck. I was sitting there tearing my eyes. I was just like, this guy's got it. And shout out to, obviously, Tabletop Village for all of your Pokemon needs, but only if you live in the Seattle area.
Myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Mellow _ Magikarp. This has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast, and we'll catch you all next week.